Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell. Welcome back, ladies. You won't be disappointed this week. Another episode of Ladies of Liverpool. And today we're going to be talking to you about those moments in life where you wonder if you've been doing the right thing, what you've been investing all your energy into, which isn't making you 100% happy. Do you step away or do you keep going? What's that saying where they say, the longer you stay on the bus without getting off, you get further away from where you need to be. Sometimes you need to bite the bullet, make that change. And we've got a wonderful woman with us today who did exactly that. She's going to empower us like we've never been empowered before. Girls, boys, and everybody else who's listening, this is Gemma Mena.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Gemma, change our lives for the better in the space of a podcast. So in one episode, we need to know everything about you.
Okay.
Everything we need to know about ourselves mm-hmm. and how we make changes mm-hmm. that we need to make, but we're just scared to do it. So take us back to Hollyoaks, how your life was, Gemma.
Yeah, so basically from a child, I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be on TV. And I did want to be in Hollyoaks. So it was very much, I didn't realise back then, I was very much manifesting it, okay. but taking action, you mm-hmm. know, from a kid. And yeah, an opportunity came up when I was about 22 to audition for the McQueen family. And yeah, big open audition. And I went dressed as Carmel.
Nice.
So I kind of knew what the family was about, but they didn't have a character like Carmel written. So I turned up in little denim skirt, fishnet tights, thigh boots, loads of makeup on, hair tied up, and I just walked in as her. And our producer at the time was like, that is the character that we need in the show. So, you know, 7 auditions later, 6 months of auditioning, going back and forth, they written Carmel in. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was just, the rest is history with Carmel, because she was such an iconic character.
Yeah.
And within the first 9 months, I'd won like a British Soap Award for like best comedy.
That's insane.
It was, looking back now at the age I am, I look back and I can't believe it actually happened. And, yeah. you know, that success at such a young age, number one.
Yep.
And it was, you know, the media was so different. It was like you were catapulted overnight into yes. fame. So it was such a lot to kind of do, but I was ready because I wanted it so much. And that's all I ever wanted for my career.
Well, thinking of the pressure there from, mm-hmm. had you done anything before or was this your big breakout
role? This was my big break. Yeah.
Okay. So when we had Sally Lindsay on a podcast, she spoke to us about Coronation Street and how once you walked through that door that you thought was going to change your life for the better,
yeah.
with that success would come everything you've ever dreamed of, everything you've worked on. She said, once I opened that door to Coronation Street and walked through it, it closed behind me and I couldn't walk back. And nobody explains that to you. Once you're in the press and the tabloids have got the teeth into mm-hmm. you, and however many people are listening, this is before Netflix and streaming, yeah. you know, options. It was just a couple of channels on the telly yeah. you could watch.
Yeah.
So everybody's eyes are on you.
Yeah.
And they're judging you for everything. Yeah. And that must be a total game changer for some. A nightmare.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I was always quite lucky, I think, because I was like the nice sister.
Yeah.
So I always, you know, got really lovely support from people, press. But my thing, and I think back there, it was so much pressure. And you know, Sally's right, there was no one warns you about it. And there's no support,
yeah.
number one. Like, mm-hmm. you're just thrown into it. There's no support even like, you know, how to kind of manage your life, how to do even your washing when you're on a 70, 80 hour week, you know, or manage your money or anything like that. You know, and, you know, you're quite young being put in those positions. So there wasn't any support. And I think that's something that, you know, that's what I like to do now. I like to help people to kind of help them on their way in a way, you know, with actors and stuff. But also, it was just like success overnight. And I think back then, people wasn't as vulnerable and honest as they are now. So you felt the pressure, I did anyway, in speaking from experience, of having this perfectionism. So I kind of was playing Carmel on the show, but then you do a red carpet and everything has to be perfect. Your dress has to be perfect, your shoes, your hair, your makeup. And I remember that that added pressure was such a lot. You know, you couldn't even like moving the wrong way, you know, if your body wasn't right, you know, you think back to those days.
Picture.
It was literally who wore it best.
What
they looked to show, you know, that sort of thing in it. It, you know, you had that on top of it as well.
I know all about this from friends of mine. So I can, when you're speaking, I feel it in the pit of my stomach. So when Brookside was in its height, loads of my friends were in it and I was auditioning all the time and I was always getting to the final few and you'd be shortlisted. We're going to make a decision tomorrow and you're going to get the call and you're sitting by the phone and you think when that phone rings and you get that part, it's going to be everything you ever wanted. And for me, it was always like, oh, they went the other way. They went the other way. And you get so close. It was like, Brookside's on my door. The brief was, we want a Scouse blonde of this age. I couldn't hit the brief anymore. And then you see someone playing the part who's completely different to you and you're like, why was I even there? And that stress and turbulence in your life.
The audition process is just the hardest. Because you go, because you do get it and you're like, I can do that. And then you do see it on the TV. You're like, oh, they went in a completely different direction. But they don't tell you that.
No.
They don't ring up and go, oh, we went in a different direction, but you did a great job.
Yeah, it wasn't
or
you,
maybe work on this, 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 this. There's no like constructive feedback as well.
I always thought that was the hard bit.
Yeah.
And then I watched friends of mine get the roles.
Yeah.
And we'd go out and celebrate. And we'd be like, this is going to change your life. Everything's going to be brilliant. We're not going to have to queue outside the bars anymore. This is going to be fabulous.
Yeah, and that was the best bit in the day.
In Liverpool, anyone from Brookside or Hollywood didn't queue. And you'd be like, oh, I want to be that person. And I trained from when I was 10. So I was like, I've earned this. I've paid my dues. I'm singing in social clubs. I don't want to do that. I want to do this.
Yeah.
So then I'd watch it play out. And I remember getting to a point where my gorgeous friend Suzanne, we were coming out of a show. And she'd been cast in one of the families that me and another friend were, we were put into two. So it was Jenny Ellison and Suzanne. And then there was me and my other friend. And we all made friends during the auditions or whatever. And we were the other two. So we were the alternative option that, again, didn't get the part. So I remember seeing Suzanne doing all these amazing things. And was so proud of it. It was just the most amazing thing. And we came out of a show and this woman came over to her. And this is, I would say, for me, was the moment I saw what you're talking about. And this woman came over to her and she was like, you were with my boy, my son last night and you never said goodbye and blah, 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 blah. And nobody knew she was pregnant. She was in a relationship. She hadn't been anywhere for many nights. She was sat in her house because she was working 20-hour days filming and whilst early pregnant and all this kind of stuff. And I'm looking at this woman. This woman was convinced by her son, that he'd had a fling with Suzanne off the telly. I thought, people can just say anything about my mate. And she, how many times will she ever get to defend herself? How many times will she ever know that this is happening? And when that came to her toes and it was just us two, and I felt it was my job to be her bodyguard. And we walked away and she was in tears. I'm thinking, this is awful. This is not a nice way to live. This isn't the dream we all think it is. Have you got moments like that where you think, that was a standout moment for me when I thought, this isn't the dream, actually?
For me, I have to, like I said, because the character was so nice, I always got really, like, people just being really nice to me. Like, I was very, very lucky. For me, really, when I found it really hard was, I was in the show, probably about 8 years or 6 years, sorry. It was 6 years. I was starting to get a little bit itchy feet. And my granddad had passed away and 5 days later, my dad passed away very suddenly. So it was very, very, like looking back now, it was a really traumatic time. And that for me, I was just like, I need to kind of step away and grieve. And I didn't. I did another 2 years on the show because I could play her basically with my eyes closed, mm-hmm. and I felt it was the easiest thing to do.
Yep.
But that's when I started to find things quite hard because life was life in.
Mm-hmm.
I was going through grief, but trying to keep up with a 70-hour week, plus then on the red carpets, that perfectionism. And I felt like I was playing like two other parts. I was playing, well, me at home, yeah. which I am now, mm-hmm. And then like Carmel, and then I was playing the character of the perfect person on the red carpet. Do you know what I mean?
Because
I'm not like that. I'm really clumsy and I'm not perfect.
So that's
but I just felt
lot.
Like I couldn't share. Yeah. So when you're then going through grief, I felt I can't keep all this up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's where I was just like, this just, I can't carry on the way I am. And it was either kind of choose me or lose me. In a way.
That's powerful.
So mm-hmm. that's kind of where the change for me to kind of step away, because I thought I can't be in the public eye if I've got to heal myself as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Which I think most people are more honest about that now. But yeah. if you think about what, 13 years ago, no one talked about grief. It
no.
was literally, you just moved on with
yeah.
it.
Even though people talk about it a lot, I still personally, and I don't know if people listening will relate to this, I struggle to show that I'm struggling.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that comes yeah. from. I really struggle to ask for help
yeah.
in every situation, mm-hmm. whether it's home life or work life. I do struggle with that. It's like going back to your childhood and your mum's going, if you don't understand, ask teacher, yeah. put your hand up and
yeah.
ask.
Yeah.
And I say that to my kids, but as I'm saying it, I'm thinking, Leanne, listen to your own yeah. words. Sometimes you do need to just
exactly
say,
yeah,
I'm struggling here. I yeah. need help. But if you're struggling, and a lot of people rely on you, like your husband and your yeah. kids and your family members. And we get to this point, mm-hmm. and you said then when life is life and,
yeah.
and we get to our age now and your mum and dad are getting old. Like I feel responsible for my mum and dad,
yeah,
as well as
totally,
the kids and totally. The dog and my husband
yeah.
and everybody else. If they think I'm struggling, is this all going to fall down like a house of cards?
Mm. This is how I work with so many women and try and kind of make them realise that we don't keep it all together. And I think if we share that we can't keep it all together, because not every woman can keep it all together,
yeah.
And show that vulnerability, I think it helps more other women out
yeah.
and to go, yeah, I haven't got everything together.
Yep.
But I think that is just a generational thing. Yeah. Our mums did it, our grandmums did it.
Yeah. Suck
it's
it up.
Basically like a generational pattern that comes down, but
yeah.
we live in a completely different world now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to really fill up our cup so we can look after everybody else around us as well.
Definitely.
So that's like now I work with a lot of women helping them out with that
yeah.
because we can't keep putting this brave face on, because what's happening is we're crumbling inside
yes.
and then we go into burnout and then we can't help anybody else out.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing that I really learned, because I was exactly the same. Do you know what I mean? But I did say to myself at the time, if I realise what I'm going through and how to process it and learn about it. And that's why I did step away from the show and being an actress, because I wanted to heal myself. Once I did learn and realize the tools that helped me, I would share this with
yeah.
others. And that's kind of what I do now with Mind and Wellness, my business.
Was it a one day you woke up and said, I'm going to have me notice in? Or was it gradual?
It was more of a gradual.
Similar.
So like I said, around 6 years, I started to kind of just get a bit of itchy feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then just also like, I'd only ever wanted that job.
Yeah.
And I got it. And it was everything I could ever have wished of.
Yeah.
It was the most amazing job.
Did you feel guilt for not wanting to do it anymore?
Yeah, a little bit. Because, you know, at the time, probably I was around 26 and I was like, oh, is this going to be me now till I'm 40 or
yeah.
50? Like, just doing this. Like,
yeah.
if I can get this at 22, and what else can I do
yes.
within my career, within my life?
Mm-hmm.
So I just started to think like that, like, what else can I do?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what got me thinking of, well, I'm not sure if I want to still be here. And then, yeah, those 2 years going through grief, I think that's where like it just started to chip away, and I just suffered really bad with anxiety.
Yeah.
I was just kind of really struggling. But again, no one knew. Like everyone, when I talk about it now, people go, oh, you seem fine. I was hiding it really
well.
But then at home, I was crumbling. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, you know, sometimes you've got to like just put yourself first and think, okay, I've got to look after me first.
When you say crumbling.
Yeah.
We all do this, especially when you listen to a podcast, we're on a walk now and we're just in your ears and you're looking around yourself and you really do digest the words of a podcast, I think, and it resonates with you. When you said the words then, like you were crumbling at home, I had a vision of myself, of when my friend passed away, and I felt like I couldn't cry in front of the kids because they were grieving, Suzanne, and my husband was grieving. We all loved her. We all, you know, we all missed her. Yeah. We all felt the anger of cancer taking her too young. Mm-hmm. But I felt I could only cry if I locked myself in the bathroom and pretended to be in the back. And I knew I needed to get it out.
Yeah.
But even halfway through crying, I felt guilty for not being with everyone else who was also grieving. Yeah. It's this like pressure we put on ourselves. When you say you were at home, were you doing something similar? What were those moments when you thought, this isn't good for my health?
Yeah, it was just, I just couldn't cope with the pressure of life and the job. You know what I mean?
Was like tears?
Yeah,
was it?
It's massively tears.
Was it affecting your body?
Yeah, tears, stress, you know. I even remember because I was on the show and I was doing Splash at the same time, you know, the diving program.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Daly. Bearing in mind, I don't like heights and I don't even like water. But I think when you lose somebody, you're like, I'm going to do everything because, you know, I just want to try new things.
You want to feel something.
So I think I was taking on too much. Mm-hmm. That was the problem as well. Like I'd agreed to too much instead of just doing the job. Yeah. I was like, I'll do this and I'll do that. And I'll do, you know, just to kind of be alive in a way, you know, feel alive and do some new things and probably feel different emotions than just feeling sad. You know what I mean? But I think I was just completely going into burnout. I just remember just being so tired, everything being hard, even if like things changed last minute, which they did, you know, scenes changing. I found everything really like stressful.
Overwhelming.
Really overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, crying. And it was just, I didn't realise I probably was in burnout a lot earlier than I actually thought I went into it.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when I look back now, maybe I just needed a couple of months off.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I was at, I was like, no, you know what I mean?
And in our business, you're not often allowed that time.
You step out. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you can't show vulnerability. So I felt if people could see me struggling, it's going to go anyway.
There's always someone else who's ready to step in and take your place.
I just couldn't be dealing with the pressure anymore. Do you know what
so
I mean?
So was your contract coming to an end and you thought this is my time?
Yeah, contract was coming to an end. And then they offered me the exit storyline, the September storyline, the train crash, which is, they always do a really big storyline in the September. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, we'd love to offer you this storyline and kill Carmel off.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was actually a bit like, oh, okay. I didn't really knew how I felt about her being killed off, but I'm so glad that she did.
Because that's the end. There's
no coming back. And I think looking back now, I'm so glad that actually happened because I think it's so easy to go back when, you know, I look back at that that September stunt. We got over 14 million viewers and people even talked to me now about it and they, you know, they cried. I put it on my socials recently and I was like, oh my God, it was the most saddest, you know, exit ever. So, and I was very lucky to get that storyline and to have that big storyline to kind of end the character, you know? So she is like there still.
Yeah.
And I always think, you know, she's memorable.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud of the work that we did on that.
Yeah.
The train crash was just fabulous. So yeah.
That's impressive that people are still remembering it. It's a big part of them.
It's, and you 2014. So you know what I mean? It's a long, long time, 11 years.
Both sitting here trying to do the maths. Yeah. I'm going, can I say 11 or am I wrong? I don't want to guess because I'm rubbing your maths.
No, 11 years. You know what I mean? It'd be this October, November, I think it aired. And like I did Corrie last year. And even when I was sat in makeup, like, I still think I'm 21. Do you know what I mean? And I'm sat in makeup and they're like, we used to run home from school and watch you.
Oh,
and it, honestly,
that's gorgeous.
It is. And it's like, I go, oh, like now I can kind of see what the beauty I did on the show.
Yes.
And what I gave to other people with the character, because she was such a beautiful character that not many shows had.
Yeah.
And, you know, people remembering her and loving her. I was just like, so now it's like, it's just amazing when I hear that, because I think, oh, I did that. Do you know what I mean?
Fabulous.
Because I had so many years afterwards of, you know, struggling and trying to rebuild and do everything that I do now. I think it's really nice to hear that, you know, Carmel's still in everybody's memory.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. I also, on this podcast, like to not only, you know, celebrate what we're doing and what we've done and all those moments, I also like to point out the realness of our conversations. And on most of the podcasts you listen to, talking about empowerment and changing your life and all that kind of stuff, they'll miss this bit out. But I want to just take a minute to acknowledge, when you pull the plug on something that you've invested so much of your life in, on the outside looking in, people will go, she was on TV, she had bags of money in the bank, she could have gone and on a holiday for 3 years and thought about what she was going to do. It's not like that. The fear must have set in at some point where you've gone, okay, I've got bills to pay.
Yeah.
I'm very young still. Mm-hmm. I've got this career I've invested in. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do now to make sure I don't disappear? Because so many actresses do exactly what you did and you never hear of them ever again. Mm. So what did you do in that moment? How did you feel in that moment?
I think, you know what? I kind of left and I probably thought, there would have been probably more jobs than I have done.
Yeah.
But I wasn't ready for them. Mm-hmm. I had to look after me, as I was saying.
Yeah.
So I remember going to like an audition afterwards and just not doing great. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not ready.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to audition. Yeah. Like, I'm really not. So when I left, I'd done yoga since I was about 18 and I found just so much peace on my mat.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out to Morocco and did my 2 weeks teacher training. So I just kind of did it for me. Yeah. And then when I came back, a studio was like, oh, we need some cover. Will you come and teach? And that's kind of how it happened of becoming a yoga teacher and kind of going down more the holistic route and kind of just stepping away from acting in that way.
So tip one, upskill.
Yeah. And it was just, and for me, it was like, I just love doing it and I love teaching and I love educating people.
Yeah.
And it was still a type of a performance, do you know what I mean? So I felt quite comfortable of standing in front of a room full of people and teaching them. But that alone, do you know what I mean? Becoming a yoga teacher, what the press got with that, you know, left an acting career to become a yoga teacher and then putting like...
How's that negative, Gemma?
But that's what I mean. And you know, when you're reading, that's why I don't even read the news anymore.
No.
I'm not even, you know what I mean? I don't even look at it. But it's things like that, that I don't think they realise what they do because you're constantly getting attacked, you know, paparazzi waiting for you at yoga studios when you're just trying to work. And it's like, as actors, you're not always going to be in a job.
No.
Anybody in the industry isn't, and you have to do other things around it. And what I say is, don't just do jobs that you don't like just for the money. Do things that you've got a passion for.
Absolutely,
as well.
Yeah.
And I had a massive passion for this, so I do get it. It was probably quite weird that people see me on TV 2 years ago and then they go into a yoga room and it's like I'm the teacher, and I do get that.
I love
but I'm still a normal person.
Yes, and with bills to pay.
I still love doing that. And I wanted to do something instead of just waiting by a phone call for an audition. Yeah. Like, that's just not who I am. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
For your mental health,
not
is it?
At all.
I just don't think in any industry, in anybody's career life, you can't just sit and wait for someone to knock with the opportunities. No. You have to create the opportunity.
You
have to go out after what you want and grab it with both hands.
Yes.
So you're doing your yoga classes.
Yeah.
How did that turn into this amazing online community that you've got? This is where I came across you and was like, I feel all the feels when you post on Instagram. If you're not following already, you should be. Have a little watch and see if there's anything you can learn from this. So also, you talk about your own experiences, but it's other women's experiences.
Yeah.
No two stories are the same.
Yeah, exactly. So in lockdown, it was basically all studios had closed down, and I was like, should I start teaching on Instagram? Like, I've seen a few people doing it.
Yeah.
And I said to my husband, should I start it anyway? Yeah, just, you know, put a story up and just ask. Yeah. Like, and honestly, I'm obsessed with my phone. I put a story up, but I just couldn't look at it till the next day because I thought, you know, my confidence was really knocked from everything. And I was like, oh, people probably won't want that. And honestly, when I looked at my phone the next day, so many people were like, yeah, I'd love that. I'd love it. So I just started teaching out of my kitchen. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I had a Westie and two St. Bernards.
Yeah.
And they used to be in my yoga classes and come over for cuddles and kisses while I was teaching. And I think everyone just really enjoyed that, you know. And they got some classes. They were doing yoga. I used to do it like on every, I think, Monday and every Friday. So it became quite a thing. And then I realized how it was doing well. And then in lockdown, I did my coaching qualification, my hypnotherapy, and I started putting courses on of like for meditation, for yoga, and people, the same people were booking on them.
Yeah.
So I kind of did that for the first year. And then after that, I set up Mind and Wellness, and it was all about helping your mind and your body.
Talk to me about this. This is the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
So if I was to sign up with you,
yeah,
tell me exactly what you're going
to
do.
So the membership, I have two memberships now because of the development. So the first membership is a self-love membership. So it's for women who've got no time, they're burnt out, and they can find 3 minutes, but they'll tell me, I don't even have 3 minutes. Yeah.
And I'm sign like, me up. You're describing like, me. Sign
you do up. Have 3 minutes. And I'm very honest with people. Yes. I'm like, you do have 3 minutes. If you can scroll on Instagram, you've got 3 minutes to do a meditation or a breath work.
Okay.
So the platform is basically pre-recorded classes. So you can just press play at any time, do your breath work, your meditation, or your yogas. But we have a live yoga every Saturday, and I've been doing that for 4 years now. Every Saturday from my little studio at home. And then we have monthly connect calls as well. So everyone gets on the Zoom call and we connect with each other.
Oh, nice.
Set intentions for the month, how we want to feel, how we want to move through it. Yeah. And then we have challenges. So like next month, from the videos we have, I put them all together, 31 days movement and meditation. So these one to do every single day.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the self-love membership.
Sounds
once
wonderful,
you've done that for a while, mm-hmm, and you're into it, and like, you know, your max meditation or yoga will be like 15-20 minutes, and when you want a little bit more, that's when you go to self-discovery. So you get all self-love, but you also then get live hypnotherapy and sound healing from me that I do live every month.
So is this like the bowl thing?
Yes, so I'm a sound healer as well, so we do that every month. That's recorded, put on the platform.
Wow.
We do an open coaching, which we just did last night, so everyone, so they come to the call with anything that they need coaching in the month.
Yeah,
I will do that. And then we have guest speakers in as well. So we had like a PT and a nutritionist in last night as well. Yeah. So people who have got different expertise than me will come in and educate them. So self-discovery is for just women that have been in it for a while in self-love, and they want a little bit more, and they want to go deeper into their practice and spirituality as well. So, and yeah, they want more of the hypnotherapy.
So hypnotherapy.
Yeah.
What kind of things people come to you with?
Well,
could I message you and be like, can you hypnotize me to stop me eating chips?
Everything. You know what? You can have everything. But I had a lot of hypnotherapy through, because I had suffered really bad with anxiety, like I said.
Like panic attacks and stuff.
Yeah, not as much panic attacks, more anxiety and anxiousness within the chest. Yeah. So I used to be a singer and I couldn't get back on stage again. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to do this performance back on stage and sing. And honestly, I just couldn't do it. So I went to a hypnotherapist, and once I had some sessions, I got back on stage and sang again live.
Is it like the old school watch
clock? No, it's basically, we're like this.
Yeah.
I will count you down. You're in a very deep relaxation, and you'll be in your theta brainwave, which is just the brainwave just before sleep. So you're fully relaxed. And if somebody's suffering with anxiety or always on the go, you never feel relaxed. So it's a very foreign thing for your body. And that's how I was. So when I first started doing it, I was really anxious going into it, because my body wasn't used to being that relaxed and regulated.
Yeah, yeah.
So just that alone is amazing for people, just to go into hypnosis and fully, fully relax in the world that we live in now, because we're all just doing 24/7.
Absolutely.
So that's what I went for. And then there was a lot more of anxiety, a lot of inner child. Because, you know, you've got to think of things, even just like bullying at school.
Yeah.
It kind of gives us a belief that we should be small. We shouldn't be confident. Yeah. I was quite a confident kid, got bullied. Then I was like, you know, a smaller version of myself.
Yeah,
so there was things like that we worked through, and you can kind of rewire the brain and change the narrative and the story within the brain, in the subconscious mind.
So if somebody listening to this now who's struggling with anxiety, whatever, you're explaining there's another way.
Oh, massively, there's another way. And people don't talk about hypnotherapy as much as they talk about talk therapy.
So you could spend the rest of your life not struggling with the things you've struggled with your whole life.
I've helped many women, people who haven't even been able to leave their house with anxiety. Once we've worked together, been able to leave the house, been able to manage the physical symptoms, and it's still there. It'll always be there. Mine's there, but you know how to manage it and how to just have your daily tools really to help you. Yeah. And that's what mind and wellness is all about. Like for me, meditation and hypnotherapy was life-changing. Mm-hmm. But for you, it could be breath work. Mm-hmm. It could be yoga. You know what I mean? It could be different. And that's what I say to everyone. Build your own toolbox. Yeah. I am not here to tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. I'm here to just guide you, support you, and you build what works for you.
Okay, so we see different levels of this then, whether it's physical with the yoga, whether it's sitting down and being with your thoughts and the hypnotherapy side of it. When you sign up to what you do, do you find that people then become friends with other people? Can they talk to each other? Like you say, this monthly
Zoom chat. We have like a Telegram chat.
Because
so
it's easy for women to lose the friends and even family members.
Exactly.
Life can be tough. Yeah. And whether it's, you know, you cut your ties with cousins or certain friends, things
and
happen.
And we grow. We all grow. We change. And think people that you were friends with when you were younger just might not be, it might not be the same as what you want now.
Yeah, the energy changes.
Exactly. So this space is for like-minded women. There's no judgment. Everyone's there, support each other. We, you know, I dip in near enough every day just to check in on everybody, like intentions for the week.
Yeah.
What's you, like today, what's everyone's Wellness Wednesday? Yeah. What 5 minutes could you give yourself today, you know, for your Wellness Wednesday?
Give me examples, Gemma. Even if, what could I do for myself
for
today?
For your Wellness Wednesday, I always, you know what, I keep it really simple. Even if it's just sitting there, not on your phone for 5 minutes and have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee.
That's your pick up that phone.
Exactly.
Is it?
Yeah.
And you're scrolling through and you hit with, you know, news, devastating stuff going on in the world.
Exactly.
You know, messages left, right, and
but
centre.
But you have control of that.
Yes.
That's what people don't realise, that you have control of your own mind, your thoughts, and we're not our thoughts as well. That's another thing I always like to say. So even just that, if it's that simple, or reading a couple of pages of your book, or going out for a walk, or meeting your friend for a coffee and having a good gab, you know, or just doing a yoga, whatever it is on a Wednesday, I always like to check in for a nice little Wellness Wednesday, just to kind of, because you might have just gone into the week and gone, I've not done anything for me.
Yeah.
And then on a Friday, we'll do like what's everyone's wins and celebrations of the week. And then Saturday, we do the yoga to let go of the week and step into the weekend for us. So it's all like little checkpoints. But there's so much, like even this morning I've come here, there's so much chat going on. Yeah. Everyone's supporting each other. Mm-hmm. In self-discovery, we do books as well, like a book club. So we're focusing on a book. So everyone's letting us know what pages they're up to, what they're doing.
How important is this? Because we do become mothers or wives. Wives or
and it's just remembering
daughters.
That you know, you as a woman is important as well.
That bit of you time, that little moment to see what makes you tick. I always laugh, like when I had kids, the first thing I recognised is that I wasn't allowed to have a wee when I needed a wee.
Yeah.
I couldn't drink a hot cup of tea because I wasn't allowed. Everyone else came first.
Yeah.
We somehow just stick with that regime, don't we? We just don't allow ourselves to go, I need 5 minutes.
And that's why I like to just kind of flip it around for people, because like, why do you not give yourself any time?
Guilt. I'm riddled with guilt. I feel guilty about feeling guilty.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it was
where does that guilt come from though?
I was an altar girl. I think it comes from church.
Oh, it comes from everything comes from church. I was an altar girl.
What? And you had to go up and say, confess to me. You were seven. I had nothing to confess to. I'd make something up.
You know what? This is it. Honestly, I won't go off on a tangent here, but
you can. This is a free space.
This whole confession thing, it doesn't make us have control of ourselves. It's like we have to get external validation for what we do with our life.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That I think then causes more problems when we get older instead of going. So I always say this, like any decision we make or anything we do, you're asking for external validation. We've got all the answers within us.
Yeah.
If you just slow down, even if you just take a few breaths, hand on heart, close the eyes down, you have the answers in you. But how many times probably do you text your mates, your partner or your mum, what should I do? And you might go against what you're saying inside because of what they tell you to do.
Yeah.
And I do think it comes from confession.
Just doesn't it? Here you go. Look, we have blown its cover
totally.
I've never thought of that properly until I just said it to you.
Yeah.
Hey, it works, girl. Sign up. I think I've just had a free sesh.
But it's just like, you know, we have the answers within us. It's about trusting ourselves.
Yeah.
And a lot of women, we don't trust ourselves. And that's something you've got to work on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that self-love and that self-worth, and they're the things that I really love to work with women on.
Yeah.
Is just building that up, and you know, knowing that you've got everything within you. You don't need to ask for permission or what's your next steps in life or anything like that. You know inside. Deep down, you know. Mm-hmm. You know from your intuition.
That's a lovely place to end the podcast, but I'm not ready yet. I want some little tips from you everybody else now.
Go on.
We're listening. And I love this. People send me pictures. They're cleaning the kitchen. So they're listening to this about having a new time, ironing the kids' uniforms.
Yeah.
Cleaning the kitchen, making sure everybody else is okay. Stop.
Yes.
Stop what you're doing. Take a little minute and we're going to get some words of wisdom.
Okay.
If you could give some general pieces of advice
to
men, women, everybody listening right now on how they can start healing themselves, what would those pieces of advice be?
Try and look at your day. So when you wake up in the morning, instead of just jumping straight on your phone, just close your eyes down and do some breath work, even if that's box breathing. Breathe in for four, hold for four. Exhale for four, hold for four. Do about 8 to 10 rounds of that.
And that's before you do anything.
Before you do anything. Because if you set your day up that way, you will be a better version of you. If you have that time for you in the mornings instead of getting on your phone, scrolling, jump out of
bed.
First
thing to do.
Sort everyone else.
Yeah.
If you can just have that time for you and then set the intention for the day, like, I'm going to have a great day today because I'm checking in with me.
Do we write this down? Do we just think it?
Just have it. Yeah, have it in your mind.
See, I'm making it hard work.
Exactly.
It's not hard work.
It's not, you know, and, you know, with breathing, just hand on heart, close the eyes down, connect to your intuition. So what's that voice saying? So if it's saying it needs rest, you need rest. Yeah. You don't need to go, oh, no, I don't need rest. I need to go to the gym more.
I need coffee. I'll treat myself to a croissant.
Exactly.
No, it's like,
the rest. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I always say bookends. So breath work or meditation in the morning, the same before you go to sleep at night as well. Or when you finish work, do a little bit of breath work or meditation. So then you're not taking all your stuff home. Because how many times do things happen at work? The minute you walk through the door, offload it to the whole family.
Yeah.
Do they really need to know that? Do you then need to repeat it and get yourself all angsty going into your evening?
Yeah.
In, you know what I mean? In the house, like try and have that. That space is sacred.
I think we all sit in the car for a minute anyway, don't we? You pull up our outside house, whether you've been on the big shop or you've been picking the kids or whatever, and the kids will jump out of the car and I sit there for a little minute. It's like, okay, what? Who am I now? What am I? I've done work, Leanne. I've done daughter, Leanne. I've done wife, Leanne. Okay, it's 4 o'clock. The kids are over from school. I'm going back into mum mode now. Yeah. And you sort of, so this is that moment just, in the car. Just wait.
Just let go of your day.
Yeah.
So then you can step into your weekend and you can be present with your kids and your family.
Yeah.
Like that's the most important thing, I think, is being really present with people instead of just going through the motions and being on your phone and going, yeah. It's the worst thing. If you can really, you know, switch off and be present with your family, I think that's the best thing you can do for yourself.
I'm taking that. I'm running with that.
And switch your phone off at 8, 9 o'clock at night as well. Put it in another room if you can.
Yeah, put it on charge somewhere else.
I put it in another room and I don't look at it till the next day as well.
I'll do that as well.
And just have a little few rules with yourself. Like, you know, if you're getting up at 6, 7 o'clock, have at least 20 minutes, half an hour just before you look at your phone.
Yeah.
Have a cup of coffee, have a little bit of time for you, maybe read 2 pages of your book or whatever.
The world's not going to change.
Exactly.
You're not going to make any difference.
And you don't need to be rushing all the time. You don't need to be in your fight or flight. Yeah. Just have those little pockets of stillness throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And I tell you now, that will just transform your life. Just a few minutes.
You are absolutely gorgeous in every way. I could listen to you for another hour.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Anyone listening now, where do they find you?
You can find me on my Instagram, which is just Gemma Myrna, or Mind and Wellness, which is Mind and Wellness UK. Mm-hmm. And then our website is mindandwellness.co.uk.
Have a scroll, but make sure it's not when you wake up first thing in the morning.
You're a dream.
Thank you very much, Gemma.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.